Good morning. Once again, I'm going to try to speak up because I have often been told that I am too quiet when I speak. I don't know, maybe it's the reverence of being in a church, but maybe it's time to get boisterous. All right, Tim, are we going to get boisterous today? Probably not. If you could stand for a word of prayer for our call to worship today. O come, faithful God, who empowers the weak, who encourages the fearful, who enlightens the blind, who intones the deaf, who energizes the lame, who emancipates the speechless, who enriches the poor. O come, faithful God, come and enable us right now to worship you and work for your kingdom, filled with your strength, your hope, your vision, your melody, your motivation, your word, your inheritance, your life. All this we pray through him who came to be our Savior, who lives to be our Lord, who will return and fully make all things new. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Rudy. So, welcome this morning. It is the long weekend around Canada Day, and the pews are a little thin. Just means that people are out enjoying God's creation. We had a couple of great days yesterday and the day before, beautiful sunny days. Today it looks like we might get a little rain, but it got to rain a little sometime. I think there's a song that says that. So, are there any guests in our midst today? If not, frankly, there are not too many administrative type announcements in the bulletin today, except if you take note of the office hours. Something that I've noticed is that when summertime comes around, if you look in the bottom right-hand corner of your front page of your bulletin. The numbers in there are a little smaller than what we normally see, but if you could keep that in your hearts and in your, or out of your wallets, that would certainly help. Because the church keeps operating even though it's summertime. So with that, I'll turn it over to Janet and Trudy for us to have our first hymn of this morning.
If you take your blue hymnals and turn to 185, 185, Hail to the Lord's Anointed. It is an Advent song, but it does fit with our passage from Luke this morning, so we chose it that way. Let's stand to sing. 185.
Now as we look at our church family, and the way I see it this morning, there's a lot of good news in our bulletin about our church family, starting with Peter Hirschfeld. Got two notes, and you can read the one that's in the bulletin, but I got another note, and with an exclamation mark after this first line, Peter is back at home, exclamation mark. He will still need to go to the clinic daily for his dose of antibiotics, and there are still surgeries in his future. But today we celebrate with you that he is able to live in his own home again. Thank you so much for all the love and concern that you have shown to Peter's family these last months. Please continue to remember them in your prayers as they adjust to normal life again. Heinrich Fust is still at Riverview. Cards, prayers, and especially visits are very welcome. So he is recovering from his stroke. Kim Hoban is at home and will be continuing her home treatment program. The hope is that this treatment will enable Kim to enjoy her life a little more fully. So please keep Kim and Derek in your prayers. I see Pastor Gary is here today as well, and his treatment has started. No, it's not yet started. Will be starting sometime. We'll get an update from him at some point. Fantastic news, George and Erica Friesen are happy to announce the arrival of their granddaughter, Grace Olivia Ann Bergman, born on the 23rd of June. Proud parents are Janet and Matthew Bergman, grandparents Clifford and Beverly Bergman, and great-grandmother Serene Friesen, and I'm sure that Curtis is pretty happy about it too. Uncle Curtis. That's something about that just doesn't sound right. Curtis is this little guy here. So, are there any other sharing type announcements that we would like to make this morning? There is a mic if we need it. If not, you. Oh, I'm sorry. Mic is easier.
Okay, so my dad's actually doing quite well. He's regaining mobility of his left arm as well, so that helps with opening things and doing things for himself. He's on the walking program now at the center, so he's encouraged to use his walker with assistance still, but lots of practice there, and just with the professionals there. But anyways, he's in good spirits most of the time, actually pretty much all the time, and loves visits and is doing quite well.
I just wanted to ask you to keep Tim and I and John and Erica Wientz in your thoughts this week as we travel to Saskatoon for the MC Canada biannual assembly. There are a lot of heavy decisions to be made, and it will be an interesting week, that's for sure.
Anyone else? It's very loud. Thank you for that update. Now, if you would bow for a word of prayer. Oh God, we thank you this day for Christians who seek to live out their faith in their everyday lives. We know that we cannot earn your love, but we can respond to your love. You call us to live holy lives out of gratitude for all that you have done for us. We thank you for people who find joy in the midst of trials and difficulties, for the hospital patient who gives hope and inspiration to the visitor, for the homeless person who teaches the social worker the meaning of faith, for the family that prays together in the face of death. We thank you for those who endure temptation, for the young person who says no to a friend who wants to shoplift, for the office worker who refuses to join in negative conversation, for the company executive who puts justice before profits. We thank you for those who are ever generous in giving to others, for the child who puts her allowance in the church's mission offering, for the young adult at his first job who dares to tithe his new income, for the neighbor who gets up at 4 in the morning to shovel his elderly neighbor's sidewalk. We thank you for those who are quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for couples who listen to each other in love, for people who count to 10 before speaking their minds and then speak gently, for people who remain calm and loving when others' tempers flare. We thank you for people who live out their faith by caring for orphans, widows, and others in need, for foster parents and adoptive parents, for those who seek to work for justice and peace, so that fewer people can be orphaned and widowed, for those who share a cup of coffee with a lonely neighbor, for those who visit in nursing homes. And now, Lord, we pray for those in our church family. We pray for Heinrich Fust, Kim Hoban, Peter Hirschfeld, Pastor Gary and Carol and family. We thank you for the gift of Grace Olivia Ann Bergman. We thank you for people who are doers of the word and not hearers only. O God, may we be counted among them. Help us to hear your word and to find joy in doing what you call us to do. May we live our lives in thankful obedience. Amen. right. All the children come up front, please. I'm going to attempt a children's story this morning. Or do you want to sit on the steps and I sit on the pew? Whatever, is it okay? Hi, good morning again. How are you? Okay, is everybody here now? Oh, somebody's hiding around the corner. Hi, Jacob. Hi. All right. So, who can tell me what Friday was? Canada Day. Yeah, you still have some tattoos on you. Stickers on you that show that you were at a... It is tattoos. Okay, so they're never coming off. All right, and what is one of the things that we do on Canada Day, sort of when it starts to get dark? Fireworks. Yeah, is that what you were going to say too? Yeah, fireworks. Now, fireworks are beautiful things, but there's the word fire in them too, so they're... can be pretty dangerous, right? So do you think maybe that there's rules about where you can set off fireworks?
There's rules about trying really hard not to get the fire on the people after it gets down.
That's right. Because what would happen if the fireworks fell on people? They would get hurt, right? Do you think you can set off fireworks in your basement? No, because what would happen? Your basement would explode. Yeah, and your house just might burn down. So that's pretty bad, eh? So those are a couple of rules around fireworks. How about when you're riding your bike? Are there rules when you're riding your bike? Yeah. So there's things called stop signs, and what do we do at stop signs? We stop. Why do we stop at stop signs?
Because there could be someone else passing through.
Right. And what would happen if that person came through and you just went past the stop sign? You might get hurt, right? Yeah. So there's another rule out there. And if somebody has a nicer bike than you, can you go and take that? Is that allowed? No, so that's another rule. There's lots of rules that we live by in our country, in Canada, because they are meant to keep us safe or to stop us from doing things that are not so good. Now, I forgot to bring my Bible, but there's some rules that are in here, and they're way back in the Old Testament. Anybody know what those rules are in the Old Testament? No? Let me give you a hint. There's 10 of them. The 10 commandments. That's right. There are 10 of them. And there's lots more in here that we should do. But there's 10 commandments. And you know, there's a couple in here. It says, you shall not steal. That's sort of like not taking your neighbor's, or your friend's bike. Yeah, that's sort of like that. And there's another one that says, oh, it's a little bit of a long word. It's use a funny word. It's called covet. Covet your neighbor's house and take anything that belongs to them. And you're not supposed to lie and things like that. So there's a lot of rules that God gave us, and those rules are meant to keep us safe too. Right? They're supposed to keep us safe now and forever. So there's rules that our country gives us, and then there's rules that God gives us. And you know what the best part about living in Canada is? That we can live by God's rules in our country without having to be afraid of that. Afraid of the government coming against us, because the government really likes the rules that God gave us. Most of the rules that the government puts for us are rules that would follow most of what's in the Bible here. So, anyway, I see I've lost a couple. Anyway, if we could bow our heads for prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you that we can live in this wonderful country of Canada where we are able to follow your rules and stay safe. and that we are free from persecution, and that the world around us can be safer. This we pray in thy name. Amen. We will now take the offering. Thank you, Rudy, for serving with us this morning. Our first scripture passage for this morning is from Luke chapter 4, 14 to 30. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will know," and quote the proverb, this proverb to me, "Physician, heal yourself. And you will tell me, do here in your hometown what you have heard that you did in Capernaum." "Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you, there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath, in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in their time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. but he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. And now I'll be reading from James 2, 14 to 19. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You will believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder.
One, two, there we go. Always struggle with this thing. Old Canada. We are so proud of our country. We look to the south and we see Hillary and Donald competing to be president and we scoff. As Canadians, we are proud of the society that we have developed up here in Canada. Universal health care, old age pensions, the fact that we can buy French fries, cheese curds, and gravy and call it a meal. That's what makes Canada great. Canada Day is great. I spent the morning at Osmond Street Festival. Got to eat amazing food and ride a mechanical bull. That was awesome. There's fireworks at the Sibon Park. Everyone gets to get away with wearing red. It's pretty great. It's the one day of the year that we can be as patriotic as our American neighbors. As Mennonites, we have reason to be thankful for living in Canada. Fleeing persecution in Europe, my family came to North America in the 1600s. While my family went to west across the ocean, most of your families went east into Russia. For some time, Russian Mennonites thrived in the colonies they created, but eventually they too faced hard times and fled to Canada as well. Some of you remember when that happened. And when we came to Canada, we found freedom to practice our faith, to speak our language, to work hard and make a life for ourselves. We have a reason to be proud of our home. But our loyalty isn't to earthly nations and to governments. Human governments are inherently flawed. The very nature of our faith is that our true home is out of this earth. At the time of Jesus, Palestine had been in Roman control for almost 100 years. First century Palestine was controlled by the Roman Empire. Judea was under the direct control of a governor named Pontius Pilate. Galilee was under Herod Antipas, but was also part of the Roman Empire. The Jews longed for freedom. They saw that everything was not right. The rich were getting richer, the poor poorer. They knew that this was not what God wanted. Reading through the scriptures, they saw that God had promised them a leader who would come and free them from this oppression. As they slowly witnessed their freedoms being taken away, they longed for their rightful king, the son of David, to come and free them. This person was called the Messiah, which means God's anointed one. One version of the Messiah's job description is found in Isaiah 61, which is the passage that Jesus read. Then, in the midst of this longing for God to be in charge, Jesus showed up on the scene. And the first thing he does in his public ministry is open up the scroll of Isaiah, read that job description and say, today, this has been fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus was saying that he had come to make God's reign on earth happen. When God is in charge, wrongs become right. Jesus is proclaiming good news to the poor, freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight to the blind. He is here to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Throughout the New Testament, we see Jesus' mission on earth couched in political language. Jesus Christ is Lord, even though the only person who also used that term was Caesar. Jesus is our Savior. Caesar Augustus was described as the Savior of the world. So Jesus, in those writing about him, took imperial terminology and ascribed it to him. Jesus is Emperor, not Caesar. and anyone who believes in him will be saved. The terms believe and have faith are more than just a question of intellectual assent. It isn't just about knowing that God exists. We are called to an understanding of faith that requires action. Belief and faith are understood as loyalty. I trust Jesus and I'm going to follow him. Our faith is that when God's kingdom is on earth as it is in heaven, that everyone will receive justice, that wrongs will be right, that those promises of Jesus way back in Galilee will come to pass. To believe in Jesus is to say, I am committing every part of my life to the kingdom of God. Faith requires action. As Jeff read, James, Jesus' brother, told his readers, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone must say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Our beliefs require us to act. Growing up, this sign hung in my family's living room. And as far as I knew, every Mennonite had that sign. And it's a quote from Menno Simons. It's a shorter version of a longer quote. The longer quote reads, true evangelical faith is of such a nature that it cannot lie dormant. It spreads itself out in all kinds of righteousness and fruits of love. It dies to flesh and blood. It destroys all lusts and forbidden desires. It seeks and serves and fears God in its inmost soul. It clothes the naked. It feeds the hungry. It comforts the sorrowful. It shelters the destitute. It aids and consoles the sad. It does good to those who do it harm. It serves those that harm it. It prays for those who persecute it. It teaches, admonishes, and judges us with the word of the Lord. It seeks those who are lost. It binds up what is wounded. It heals the sick. It saves what is strong. It becomes all things to all people. The persecution, suffering, and anguish that comes to it for the sake of the Lord's truth have become a glorious joy and a comfort to it. And according to our confession of faith, the church is the spiritual, social, and political body that gives its allegiance to God alone. As citizens of God's kingdom, we trust in the power of God's love for our defense. The church knows no geographical boundaries and needs no violence for its protection. The only Christian nation is the Church of Jesus Christ, made up of people from every tribe and nation, called to witness to God's glory. In contrast to the church, governing authorities of the world have been instituted by God for maintaining order in societies. Such governments and other human institutions as servants of God are called to act justly and provide order. But like all such institutions, nations tend to demand total allegiance. They then become idolatrous and rebellious against the will of God. Even at its best, a government cannot act completely according to the justice of God, because of no nation except the church confesses Christ's rule as its foundation. Thus far, what have I said? I've said that we live in a great country, that as Mennonites, we have found safety and freedom here. We celebrate Canada Day because we have found a good life here in Canada, but we must also recognize that not everyone has been as privileged as we have been. We need to recognize that not everything in Canada is great, that there are those that would prefer that we are afraid of each other. They would prefer that we don't trust people who aren't like us, who don't look like us, speak like us, love like us, believe like us, live like us. But our primary loyalty is to God's kingdom, that Jesus is the one sent to make everything right, that having faith in Jesus means being committed to peace and justice. Being committed to God's kingdom today means being a loving and welcoming presence, finding ways of embracing those who are different than us. As we reach out to others who are different from us, we are acting in faith. And as we seek reconciliation with our neighbors, we find ourselves working for the kingdom of God, our home and native land.
Your blue hymnals once again, number 75. 7-5. Holy, holy, holy. We're going to sing verse 1 in German and then verse 1 and 2 in English.
Would you please stand for the benediction? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face on you and give you peace. Now sing the final song.
Stay standing for number 420. 420.